One day, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were ploughing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head, and then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming the earth and going to and fro in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied. "A man will give all he has for his own life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. Reading this epic poem, this book of Job, we get the impression that the curtain of heaven is pulled aside to give us special insight into the daily work of God. It's as if we've travelled some yellow brick road to heaven to communicate with Almighty God himself. But this is not like the road that led to the Wizard of Oz, where we meet trickery and deception when the great curtain is opened by accident. In Job, we meet God who opens the curtain for us to see. The scenes in the opening passages from Job reveal God's power and absolute authority. And on this Good Friday, we stand in the presence of God to remember the treachery and angry reactions of people. We're called to remember how masses of people struck out at the goodness we learned about last night on Maundy Thursday. And we can hear the cheers of Palm Sunday change to the angry cries of "Crucify him." It's wise for us to consider how we face adversity in our own lives. It's probably even more important for us to consider how we deal with our relationship with God. And more important yet, is assuring that we understand the impact of Jesus in that relationship. When I read the Easter story, I have to believe that the recording of the events in heaven were written for you and for me. For these writings teach us to slow down so that we can reflect on who we are and why we are here. We're reading from Job, and we see that God allows 2 tests for Job, and the testing is thorough. Generally, we think of tests as proving types of what we have learned and how we apply that learning. The tests we read about in Job reveal what is in his heart. First, Job loses all his wealth and all his children with such unimaginable sorrow. And in the second test, in one quick turn of events, Job loses his own health. Reading these passages perhaps makes us all appreciate that the percentage of our retirement savings that were lost in the recent recession were less than all of it. And the stubbed toe that we may have fussed about this morning is really trivial. People try to blame God for poor health, for loss of wealth, for accidents, for the death of loved ones. And through Job's two great trials, we learn some important truths that I believe were also taught in the trials and the crucifixion of Jesus. Job and Jesus do not blame God for the pain and the suffering they have to endure. Job wishes never to be born. Jesus' plea to let the cup pass from him is a very human cry to live without trials and convictions. These are desired preferences, but unrealistic in the scheme of creation. The author of Job focuses on the theme of bad things happening to good people. It's Job's friends who suggest that his suffering has to do somehow with wickedness. And the story reveals that God is aware of all the troubles that his creatures endure. The text assures us that troubles are dispensed only as far as God judges right and good. And based on this revelation, we sense that God is ultimately in control, not the environment, and certainly not our enemies. God's people are especially protected by the power of God. And instead of trying to justify why we should not have pain or loss, let us be aware that God allows hardship to come our way. We have knowledge and reason and process for responding to suffering. And with those gifts and with God's grace, we can endure. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Christian church, "No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it." There are no exceptions to this for God's people. How we deal with this plight of Job may say something crucial about the way that you and I resolve our own troubled hearts. Difficult circumstances reveal the way that we love and trust the Lord. In stressful times, we can enter a process of healing through which we can understand our own hearts, dislike the harmful things we do, search for God's abundant mercy, and walk in ways we learn in the life and teachings of Jesus. God is abundant in times of trial. Most of us cannot see our own sins. We simply cannot see the idols we worship. We do not want to see them. Similar to the Pharisees who prayerfully reminded God of all the laws of Moses that he attended to weekly, the average religious person is too full of pride to think that there is any impurity in his or her heart. Job happened to be wealthy. Take all the riches away and he is still the same contented person. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrongdoing. And through all his sufferings, Jesus never charged God with wrongdoing. So let us vow today that in our own sufferings, we will not blame God.